Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to tonight's show. We was having some technical difficulties for whatever reason. I couldn't get through. I have to try to see if our other host has called in. We were going to discuss tonight about finding your place at the table as a creative. You know, whether it's you're a writer or an artist, or, you know, a musician, it doesn't matter, you know, to find your path. And as soon as I get this straight here, we will get this started. Daniel Dark is supposed to be joining us. And I will be joining you. And here is Stephen Zimmer.
And I'm speaker.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah, we don't have ideal conditions tonight. We don't know what's going on at Blog Talk Radio, but they're having some major technical difficulties this evening. And so the show will go on. And so we managed somehow to log in, at least get it started. And so we're going to be talking about our subject in just a moment tonight, which is we're going to be talking about finding your place at the table as a creative in your sphere of creativity. And that's a little bit different than what we talked about in terms of finding your tribe. It's not the same thing. I mean, we're looking at the aspect of finding your place in the area that you are in as an artist, as a, whether you're a podcaster, whether you're an author, whether you're a filmmaker. We're going to talk about those kind of things as far as like kind of going to the next level, the kind of the broader, bigger picture. And so hopefully we're going to have the chat room working in just a second. I'm hoping we do. Looks like we do finally have a connection with our switchboard. So yay, Blog Talk Radio. Thanks a lot. And I'm going to put Daniel Dark on the line. I think he is here. Hey, Daniel, are you on the line with us?
I've been online with you since you started, man. Can you hear me?
I don't know what happened. The whole board went out. They wouldn't even let us log into the show. So it's been a bit of a mess, to say the least.
Well, we're in now,
Holly's
so that's all that matters.
Yeah, we're in now. So you guys talk for just a moment, and I'm going to call in on this line here.
All right. Well, the setup, we've got it on speakerphone. We got my phone through finally. It took, about five times for me to get through. So I don't know. Maybe there's just so many viewers tonight, it's crashing the site. That would be fantastic. We're just causing all kinds of. Yes, that would be awesome. We're just causing a commotion. Well, Stephen is trying to call in as a guest here.
I'm in.
He's in.
Yeah,
I had to leave the room.
Yeah. I finally found a way in.
Back in the wheel, make him run more.
Yay!
We're having a lot of excitement early on the Star Chamber show tonight.
I'm telling you. And I'm running from the bedroom to the office and back and forth. And getting my exercise, guys.
Yeah, we were using her phone on speaker. We were trying to call in on a landline, trying to use a cell phone through the computer. I mean, the computer could not even access our control board. They were saying, like, the pin, this pin is not active for this show. And no, that's the right pin. It's definitely a Blog Talk Radio glitch, that's for sure.
Well, then the one time she's like,
She says, thank you for entering Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. Hung up on me.
Yeah, and hung up on us. So, yeah, the automated system hung up on us. So there you go, some excitement in episode 95.
Woo!
And that's why when you do these things, you never know what's going to happen. It's always a mystery sometimes. And, we wanted to make sure that you all get a good show tonight. But it happens, and like I said, you know, hopefully they'll get their act together on the technical end and not have these kind of glitches or so on the Blog Talk Radio end. But let's not burn up too much time. It's good to finally have all of us together. We're all intact, and and I guess Daniel, tell us about you just got done doing a pretty cool show yourself, so give us a little brief update before we get into tonight's topic.
Did a small reading last night with at the library here in Shelbyville, Tennessee, and the good thing behind it and everything, wasn't that many people that showed up, but the good thing behind it was I had 100% sales of my book.
Yes.
For every person that came there.
Yes.
So, that's good.
Oh, yes.
We advertised it pretty good and everything. Just, never know what's going on in people's lives right now. You know, to know why people didn't show up or anything like that, I don't worry about that. But I was on the front page of the newspaper with it, so the news thought it was a good idea to have me there. So, that's
I think it was one a good idea.
Of, you can always work on another one later on. It's, you don't live by the first one or the second one or the third one. Just keep on going.
Congratulations on your front page article. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that sort of blew me away because I thought that I would be, somewhere down in the midst of the paper, where, it's a small article, be a small article someplace, that, you wouldn't see unless you noticed it. And I got the Sunday paper, and, which is the largest paper of the week, and I was on the front page, with a big picture and everything of me on the front page. I was just like, okay. You'll have this happen, but I didn't.
The very Christmas nice. Tree looking all festive.
Do what, Holly?
I said, and you were standing in front of the Christmas tree looking all festive.
Oh, yeah. went up to the newspaper for the interview and everything, and the guy's wanting some more pictures of me. He stood me over next to the Christmas tree to have, said, oh, it's better lighting over here. Stand over here next to the Christmas tree and we'll take some pictures. I'm like, okay, whatever.
you were holding your ketchup and your book. That's awesome.
And then
bad.
Sunday, I was down at Dickens Days down in Franklin, Tennessee, riding my little bicycle around, which if nobody's seen my bicycle, I ride a penny farthing or a ordinary bicycle if you want to look one up and know what I'm talking about. But it's one of them that has the big front wheel and the little bitty back wheel from the 1800s is my normal riding bike. And I was riding it around down there and, tailcoat and everything. But wound up having to wear my big heavy duty coat all day long because it's like 30 degrees all day.
Oh, gee.
No.
But that was
that's
fun, with all the Victorian, everybody dressed up in Victorian garb and stuff like that, and
that's awesome.
Probably about 50 to 100,000 people there. Today,
God.
So.
Nice.
Wow.
I'll still get
gotten,
notifications
gotten,
on the computer.
It's gotten a little bit larger. I had to, this year I had to pay to park, because I wasn't any park.
You had to pay to park your Pennywise? You had to pay to park your bike?
Well, I drove down there because it's about an hour and a half drive from my house. And then had to pay to park the car and everything, and then take the bike into the show or into the festival and everything. So, but
oh man,
I took four large stacks of business card or book cards with me that has the cover of my book on one side and my information on the other side on where they can buy it. And I came back with about 10 cards. So,
well, that's the main thing, networking.
That's how many pictures I had taken of me that day.
Very nice.
Everybody wants a picture with Daniel.
Yes, they do. I've seen that happen.
The crazy old man, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, tonight let's get into the topic of the evening. I just started to go into it before we finally got everybody connected, but as I was explaining at the beginning, this is different. This is different than finding your tribe. This takes it kind of to the next level. And this is kind of about finding your place at the broader table as an author, as a musician, as a filmmaker. And so we got quite a little bit of ground to cover in this one because it kind of involves a lot of things. I actually been giving this topic some thought, and I actually shot a new tip trifecta for this Friday that's based around this. And so I definitely have some thoughts on it. Don't know where the two of you would like to start the discussion. But I was thinking along a few different lines for what creatives can do to find their seat at the bigger table.
Why don't you go ahead and start it, Stevens, and we will pick up on where you're going with it.
Okay. Well, I was thinking three kind of lines. I was thinking in order to find your place at the bigger table, you want to put together three kind of different areas. You want to find like groups that help you hone your craft, and that's not necessarily your tribe, but actually groups that help you develop yourself. And then second, find professional organizations or formal organizations to be a part of within your sphere. And then the third thing is finding a group of events or conventions that become annual stop on your calendar. And I know Michael West would definitely say Horror Hound if he was here tonight with us. We've all got our favorite events that come around yearly, but I think events fit into the equation because it definitely kind of plugs you in to your broader sphere, whether that's on the national stage or even a regional stage. So I was kind of thinking in terms of like creative writing groups and like film screening clubs and things like that. On one side, professional organizations like Screen Actors Guild or a community, like what I do with the Community Art Center in Switzerland County and VV groups, like, you know, organizations like that. And then third, talking about, the groups, the organizations, and then I drew a blank right there. But those along those lines, yeah.
Okay. Well, like with me, I've been members of every different type of group that you can think about, probably, from business men's breakfasts to entrepreneur groups and stuff like that. And all those groups help form where you're going with your business. And when I say business, when you're an author or an artist or filmmaker or anything, that is your business. You've got to sit there and think of it as a business at that point in time. And, you know, I've met some of the, you know, greatest people that you could ever think of business-wise through being parts of these organizations and getting involved with them. Like the Nashville Entrepreneur Center in Nashville, which also has a art section, Nashville Artist Group, that comes out of there too. And I stay a member of both those groups because of the fact that they each have something different. One of them is entrepreneurial, and what the, mm-hmm. you know, where is your business, what is your business, and how are you going to grow your business. The other one is what type of artwork do you do? You know, mm-hmm. whether you're a visual artist, a, you know, filmmaker, a musician, a author, you know, what is your form of artwork, and plugging it in so people can share ideas that way on and help each other out. I'm also a member of two different writing groups. One of them is, you know, held at the library, you know, where I can go up to the library and get in with that group. And the other one is, you know, in Nashville, which is a good ways away from me, but I can always Skype into it too when we're having group meetings and stuff like that. And that way you can share whatever, you know, like we can share our work, our writing with other writers and let them tell us, you know, yes, this, you know, we think this is good, or no, you know, you need to change, you know, we think you need to change this, or, you know, help us develop our type of writing. Like when I was writing Knife's Tale, the group in Nashville, there you go, you know, I was writing it where I was writing about Jack the Ripper, but I was not making it real dark because I didn't want to go, you mm-hmm. know, too much, because I was thinking, you know, young readers and stuff like that. And they said, they go, no, you're writing about Jack the Ripper. You need to make this, you know,
right.
darker. And I was like, okay. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's how the story developed. And I went back and rewrote the whole, you know, first three quarters of the book. because
oh, and I'm very glad you did.
I gone that far into it and everything before, you know, I let anybody read the first 10 pages of it. And they're sitting there going, you know, you need to change this to make it to where, you know, you're telling your voice and make it darker and everything. And I'm just like, okay, I can do that, because I was holding back. And, but mm-hmm. the group helped me understand what I need to do. When I was going through the Entrepreneur Center and trying to get my ketchup off the ground, I thought that I had one product and was solving one problem. And some of the businessmen that were there that had been in business for, you know, 20, 30 years, that were, you know, mentors and stuff in it, said, no, this is what you're, you know, this is what problem you're actually solving and everything. And I was like, yeah, I do solve that problem also. And, you know, but I had never looked at it that way. And that's the reason that I think that you need to be in more than one niche area group, because different people are going to help you in different ways depending on where right. you're at. And they're not necessarily what you call your tribe, because, you know, I don't expect them to jump and come, you know, to Shelbyville to a book signing for me like I would somebody else.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
it's the people that will assist you on getting from point A to point D,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
bypassing B and C. You know, because
well,
and
you all feed off each other.
Yeah, we can feed off each other, or they have mm-hmm. information, like in the Entrepreneur Center. They had information that I had never thought about.
Right.
And that way, you know, I jumped from A to D and, you know, didn't even have to worry about B and C. And,
oh,
you
that's
know,
cool.
Find up going, you know, on TV and different things like that, and meeting, you know, all sorts of people because of it. And, you know, through the Entrepreneur Center, I also, you know, have been able to meet, you know, different people in the book industry that I would have never met otherwise.
Right.
So, you know, trying to find out who you are and where you, you know, what your niche is. And that is another thing behind this. You know, to be able to find out what groups are going to be beneficial to you, you need to figure out what your niche is. you know, where you're going to fall in at and what type of people you need in your program. Stephen, being in doing films and stuff like that, he needs to, you know, have a niche group of filmmakers and, you know, other producers and other, you know, and actors and different people like that that are not necessarily his tribe, but people he can call on and get information from.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, me, you know, trying to be an author now, I need people like Holly and Stephen to direct me on where I need to go next and what I need to do next, because, you know, they are part of, they are my tribe, but they are also mentors. And that's the other thing behind it. Your mentors won't be your tribe. They'll be the ones that actually give you the information that help you get to your tribe.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely part of that equation for sure. And I like the fact that you're talking about being out of the box with finding some of your groups, as far as like joining an entrepreneurs group, that's not necessarily all about exactly the product you're making or exactly the art that you're doing as a creative or whatever. It's a broader kind of think tank kind of situation. And that sort of gets you into some out-of-the-box sort of things that you may not consider when you're just surrounding yourself with the same type of folks who are doing what you're doing. When you bounce ideas off somebody that's doing something entirely different from you, sometimes you can get some pretty killer ideas. And even if you're hanging out at an arts and crafts fair and you happen to be a book person, you might get some great ideas and displays by just talking to, you know, some of the folks that, you know, are doing, you know, like wood carving. And, there's all kinds of, out-of-the-box kind of potential when you, kind of go into the groups like you're talking about. And,
what you're just talking about, you know, if you're at an arts fair and you've got artists there and you're a book writer, an author, and you have no talent on setting up a booth that draws in attention, look at those people on what they're doing to get people to come into their booth, to get people to look at what they've done art-wise, and not necessarily, you know, mimic it, but take that information and how can you develop it into what you're doing to direct, you know, to have people come in to see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, well, right. I'll give you a direct example of some of this. I mean, I've been, you know, thinking about, you know, how creatives, we did a whole show on this for the Creatives Cauldron, but we were talking about how creatives products are a scalable business model, in that you, once you create the product, you know, most of the investment goes into creating whatever it is, whether it's a film, book, whatever. And once it becomes in a format that can be copied over and over again, you've got something you can sell, you know, week in, week out, month in, month out, next year, 5 years down the line. And the costs are incremental. They're just, they just tie to the, you know, the cost of copies at that point, because you've already developed the whole product. And so that's but if you go to, you know, some business experts that are experts in scalable business models, you can plug in, you know, the what you're doing directly with them, even though they have nothing directly to do with your particular sphere. But you can definitely get the same philosophy and ideas to market yourself and develop those multiple revenue channels and all that good stuff.
Exactly. You know, like, you know, I've written a book. The next things that I can do with it are either make it a movie or do an audio book. Well, I've been talked to about both doing both those things.
Aha, and, graphic novel. Never underestimate the mighty graphic novel.
Oh, that would be awesome. Oh,
I don't have the talent to do that type of artwork for it, but there's plenty of people out there that do. And,
yeah, that'd be some interesting artwork.
Yes,
and they may not be, you know, in my tribe, but they'd be in my sphere. Like, you know,
exactly.
When I come to Imaginarium.
Yeah, I know a ton of artists. Right.
There are people there that do artwork that I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
other
places I go, they have the same, you know, different things like that. Like, you know, the artist group that I'm a member of, there's artists there that do wonderful art that I, you know, I don't even know how they do it, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, you know, it's not something that I'm going to sit there and learn today. But
right.
Right.
And that's why you got to be in. Oh, go ahead.
But they're, you know, but they are there trying to develop what they're doing to a higher grade. I'm there trying to develop what I'm doing to a higher grade, and we can help each other by, you know, combining our talents.
Right.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
But see, that gets at the point I was making earlier about how you need to come up with a cluster of, like, events or conventions that are part of your yearly routine. And because when you get into a convention or event that you attend regularly, you not only you build almost like your own tribe for that event. And what the value of the event or the convention is, it's not the sales. It's the plugging into situations like you're talking about. It's networking, meeting, you know, potential collaborators, artists, you know, whether they're publishers or filmmakers or whatever you're wanting to drive it, expanding into. Yeah, it's the networking and it's the connecting the dots. And even if you don't know them directly, you might meet somebody that knows somebody. That's how it all works. And that's the importance.
Yeah, the whole
of
networking thing.
Events in your calendar that you are comfortable
yep.
with, that you know. That you've been to that's you've got grounded in and you know the playing field. When you go in, it's like home, you know, and that's you know, that's why Michael, you know, really enjoys going to Horror Hound, because he's been going to it for years. It's right in the genre, and you know, and there's a slew of, you know, film people and artists, all kinds of people that are right in that same kind of zone with him. And so it's always a real comfortable, pleasurable, productive kind of experience for him. And we certainly hope that, you know, that's the case, you know, our attendees at Imaginarium. And but it's a, you know, we aren't just talking about just these two, but I mean it's something you need to set up throughout the year. These kind of events, have one, you know, have a couple positioned at each point of the year, so that you've constantly got something to go to and kind of plug into that network. And
Killer Nashville, it becomes a group, just like Imaginarium. We have a group of us that come every year, you know, and we're a family. It's an Imaginarium. We call it Imaginarium family because we do become a family. We're like a tribe, almost like a pack there, you know. And yes, there's people that do all kinds of different things, but we can help each other. That's what we do. We network and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, I can edit and I can draw, I can write, you know, and you piece it together. It's like pieces in a puzzle, you know, and you all come together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important to do conventions and to do things like this, to actually get in a group, you know.
Well, it's cool because you got, you know, like you're, say, you're a fantasy author and you got an idea for a collectible card game. You know, boom, you network right into, you know, some game design people and artists or networking with filmmakers that you can do an adaptation of one of your short stories into a film. And that's, you know, something that's a great opportunity. You know, that's something that's very doable for a lot of authors and a lot of independent filmmakers to team up to do something like that. And there's and when you're at an event and, you know, people, and you can say, hey, I'm thinking about doing such and such. And then, boom, you know, you'll be finding yourself introduced or going to meet the exact kind of people you want to meet. And so, you know, the live events are really, really valuable. And meeting people in person just has an extra, I mean, something that, you know, the digital realm can't really, you know, yet replace. And that's, you know, the kind of connections you make when you actually meet somebody face to face. There is a difference. And I use the online world
as much as anybody. You know, and filling your seats at your table, You know, that's exactly mm-hmm. how Daniel, you know, he puts it. But that's what it does. You're actually filling the seats up at your table, you know, by plugging in these people. And I do want to give a shout out to David Sheridan. Hi, David. He's in the chat room. And so is Kinsey Michaels and Robert Osborne.
Yes, thank you for joining us, David, Kinsey, and Robert. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Yeah, and so, yeah, chime in. Yeah, if you guys got some things you want us to talk about, yeah, chime on in, because we love to watch the chat room and respond to you. So we like to have it rowdy, too. So, you know, feel free to jazz it up. I know, yeah, we'll put that on David Sheridan's back.
Yeah, David's good at that.
Well,
that's fun.
Yeah, well, Kenzie is mentioning that she did not know how she managed to sign in as Kenzie tonight because her Molly Daniels sign in would not work. I'm telling you this, that there's some kind of massive glitch going
on
with the Blog Talk system.
Yeah, because Robert Osborne said he had an awful time getting in. He had an awful time. And Lori Ward was here, but she left a comment out on the site because the chat room wasn't working when she was here. So unfortunately, she didn't get to join us, but yeah, she may be listening. I'm not sure.
Yeah, if you can. Yeah, Lori Ward's awesome. And talk about an artist.
Yeah,
wow.
She is.
I mean, supremely talented artist. I would love to find a way to get her up to Imaginarium. She'd probably get like 100 cover art jobs, but absolutely brilliant artist. And yeah, somebody I'm just talk about scalability. She could take one art image and probably create like 100 different scalable products with it. That's how good. I mean, her art's beautiful, and I can see it on everything from T-shirts to limited edition canvas prints. I mean, the whole gamut. I mean, she could, yeah, she definitely could do this kind of model, the scalable model. But it's
oh
man,
that's true. Yeah, she's definitely
Sheridan's
a seat at our table.
He'll be causing trouble. Or counting on him.
Oh, Molly Daniels, she says the elves are infuriating to see who's naughty or nice, or they're infiltrating to see who's naughty or nice.
Well, I have dubious near me.
They're
to keep
to
an
no
eye
good.
On the elves if they try to sneak up on me. I don't want any more interference on the show tonight, so I have dubious at my right hand ready to pounce on one if it tries to mess with my connection. Because I actually had to set up a Wi-Fi hotspot. I mean, things are just going haywire tonight.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
But
it's like gremlins.
But back to our topic, yes. Yeah, when you are at events and stuff too, I mean, what happens is as you start to do more panels and all, the other professionals, you know, begin to recognize you and begin to get to know you and the area that you're coming from and your sphere of expertise. And so those things start playing out too. And that'll prompt I've met a lot of great friends in the business just because we've connected later after being on panels together. And factor that into your equation as far as finding your seat on the table. That really,
right.
Oh, the chat room's just warming up. Oh, man, they're getting good now. Gremlins.
Yes, I said it's like gremlins.
But let's introduce the idea of the organizations, too, because Daniel, you know, was talking about entrepreneurial organizations that you can, like, clubs, mm-hmm. things you can be a part of. They're professional organizations. I mean, there's famous ones like, you know, of course, Screen Actors Guild, things like that. I always like to give a shout out where Timothy Shackelford is listening tonight. I am a member of the Community Art Center of Switzerland County in Vivi, Indiana, and that's a example of a local art organization where, again, mm-hmm. it's not all authors. So it exposes me to a lot of different types of artists, and we're all peers together in this organization. And that's kind of fun, you know. And I'm actually, if anything, I'm kind of one of the oddballs in the group. I think I'm one of what, two, maybe two writers, three.
Yeah, and I think you're alone. Yeah, there's only like two or three. Yeah.
So I'm the one that's valiantly defending the idea that art, that writing is an art. By God.
Well, that's why
they
added it in, because you know it is an art. It is an art form.
Yeah.
Just like music,
like artists,
or anything.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many artists are, that are authors are in there. But there's a lot of songwriters in there. And, mm-hmm. you know, especially being in Nashville. You know, so
mm-hmm.
writing, you know, is considered an art form in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're fortunate. Which, they look down on us, especially
well,
if you're a
Well, yeah, because songwriting and stuff, you know. Yeah.
I've gone to literary events, and I have gotten the evil eye from literary fiction authors when they find out I'm one of those people. Yes, the those rowdy speculative fiction folks, you know. But I've gotten a real kick out of some of the reactions I've gotten at some of those events. But the formal literati kind of events, but I do enjoy it, though. I get a kick out of it. And actually, I'm surprised. A lot of them are getting open-minded enough that they're not quite so bad as they used to be, like even 10 years ago. They're getting a little bit better about that. But that's why I'm trusting Michael Williams to set them straight, because he's he comes from speculative fiction background, and he writes as well as anybody in literary fiction.
Yes.
And his coming out next year is fuses both worlds together, and it's like, yes. Go get him, Michael.
he's bouncing around Paris right now. He's in Paris.
Yeah, he's having a rough life.
Paris
we're not
today.
Talking about we're not talking about Paris, Kentucky. We're talking about the real deal.
No, Paris. Yeah, he's in France.
Yeah.
He's in the good Paris.
Well, it looks like David Sheridan said. Speaking of opportunities to network.
Yeah.
Frank Hall is having his grand opening for his game store in Madison, Indiana. This is from the chat room. And David Sheridan,
yeah.
if you go there, you get a chance to meet him. Because I think David's going to swing by there, according to David. But that'll have a lot of games.
Check out Frank's shop.
At that one. Yeah.
Yep.
And then there's a craft walk. Help me, Holly. It's the Dragon. What is the name of his new store? Oh, God.
Oh.
I feel bad. My mind has gone blank.
I'm going to look it up. I'll look it up while you talk. I want to say it's the Dragon's Realm, but.
Dragon is in the title, yes.
I know, because he loves
pretty
dragon.
Sure that much. But it's on Clifty Drive.
I'm going to go look right now.
Where his old bookstore was. But, I want to give a shout out there. Dragon Realm. David Sheridan got it. And see, I was
that's
right,
what
David.
I said. I thought
and
it was Dragon
Realm. In the title.
I was right. Was right.
But it's
Woo!
It's on Clifty Drive in Madison, Indiana, which is a beautiful town to explore. If you get a chance to see a real scenic, really nice small town kind of environment. But up at Clifty Drive, he's right across from where that book place used to be, his old bookshop. And I definitely hope it's a cool report from David after he goes and explores it after the grand opening. But
yeah, definitely.
But we're going off the tracks a little bit here, but we'll get back to it here. But as far as professional,
well, he's part of our group.
Yeah.
They're all part of our group and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But we do want to keep to the topic a little bit.
Well, the other groups that you've got, Stephen, is your social groups that you know you can be uh-huh. members of it, whether it's the Aquinas or Rotary or, you know, anything like that, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might go and speak at, you know, do anything about, you know, what you're doing. And that can be a great help to you on being able to be up in front of people and do what, you know, and show what you're actually are working with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of those organizations, they want somebody to come and speak there, you know, once a month or something like that. And
mm-hmm.
if you're a member
that's
there, that you know, and you say, you know, yeah, I would like to come and speak, more than likely they're going to let you at some time or another. And,
right. True.
You know, some people in there may not even know what you're doing, you know, when it comes to your artwork or your, you know, or whatever you know, you're working with until you get up and speak about it because they haven't
mm-hmm.
heard.
Yeah, it's
right.
It might be
your next big Patreon.
Yes.
That's true.
Oh, yes.
You just never know.
The corporate angel that we all dream about. Yes. I usually run into the corporate devils, but during my road. But I still persevere. I keep hoping there's that corporate angel out there. But yes, you're exactly right. And a lot of them find our worlds fascinating. So if you're going up in front of a business group that's, you know, just across the board, it's not a creatives event, like Daniel's talking about, just a straight up type of club or business focused organization. Sometimes it's an advantage to be from our world because they do find you fascinating. You're different. It's definitely something that's new to them. And if you can speak a little bit of their language, you can really hook them in, I think, to get interested in what you're doing for sure. Because obviously scalable business models are attractive to investors across the board. So if you can figure out how to pitch that right, you might have a shot of getting that patron for sure. Oh, man.
That is another part of this and everything that Stephen, I'll touch on a little bit more, is your patron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that are coming and supporting you that aren't artists, they're not anything like that, but they are the one, you know, like you got a Patreon page.
It's pretty new.
And, you know,
Seven Star Press too. Yes.
Yeah, Seven Star Press has also got one. The parent of the Star Chamber show, yes.
But those people that are not your artist or, you know, authors or, you know, anything like that will be the ones that will be the ones that will be the patrons because they can't do it, but they appreciate it.
Right.
You know, that's true.
You think about, you know, the ballet and, you know, the concertos and stuff like that go on every year in every city in the country just about that. Mm-hmm. The people that are going there to enjoy it cannot do any of that stuff, but they enjoy it and they support it because of it.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, that is not going to be your tribe at all.
Right.
But that's going to be the people that are making it able for you to have your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And be able to do what you love. Mm-hmm. That's exactly
true.
Thank you
for there, Stephen.
And yeah,
oh,
Stephen.
He's got wise words there. Now, what did Daniel ask there?
Take it from there.
I said take it from there.
Take it from there. I'll take it from there. Yeah. No, it is an interesting thing. I mean, yeah, some of your biggest supporters are going to be people that don't necessarily come from within your creative sphere. I've seen that for sure, and it's really interesting that how that dynamic kind of plays out. And but they're definitely part of the, you know, part of your world for sure. And it's and in organizations too, as you begin to get active in them. I mean, you can, again, it works kind of like the convention dynamic. Once you get in and start, you know, participating regularly in some kind of organization, it's, you know, once you get known, you begin to get that kind of connect to a friend of a friend kind of dynamic going on. And that's in networking. I mean, that's something that is amazing kind of how that works as far as finding talent and all or people to be involved in a project. And you see, you know, definitely see that, and, you know, kind of how some of the things with our TV pilot came together. I mean, you know, friends of a friend, you know, would, you know, end up coming in to, you know, help in certain ways. And it's, and they're definitely people that aren't normally, you know, involved in our spheres. And it's really cool kind of how those kind of networking
chain
dynamics
reaction
occur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It
definitely
looks like
was.
David Sheridan's back in the chat room, so warning, folks, David is back.
Yeah, he got booted out, but he's back.
Oh, and I'm going to write a big letter to Blog Talk.
No, Holly's been working on hard is that outer inner sphere of the great thing called the internet. and
getting
people associated with you that aren't your friends really or anything like that. You don't know the people, but they're wanting to follow what you're doing. And I know that Holly's been working on that a lot. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're able to get so many people to, you know, follow Seventh Star and to follow what you're doing on there, Holly?
Well, yeah, it's a matter of time-consuming digging, I call it. I call it going fishing because it's a matter of you want to stay within your you know, like your sphere as far as like writing. But we like to reach out to, that can be bloggers, that can be people that appreciate the arts, period. That can be your readers, your avid readers, the bibliophiles, they call themselves, and all these different people, you know, editors and artists, period, because, you know, we need cover art, we need graphic novels, you know, we need artists too. So it's a matter of reaching out. So, you know, I hit Pinterest hard. I hit Goodreads, try to keep it updated, keep people there because there's our avid readers. There's our people that it's actually going to appreciate what we do. And there's also people there that are reviewers, and we want to reach reviewers. So that is a big way to do that. Facebook is another one, Twitter, and Instagram. Stephen handles the Twitter part. I'm not much of a, I call it tweeter, but Instagram, it's a matter, there's a trick, and it's following people that follow you, go to their followers, see who they're following. If they're an avid reader, they're going to follow maybe another 100 people that are avid readers or other writers or presses or, you know, bloggers, reviewers, review sites. They're going to be following people like that too in common. So then you follow them, you know, and reach out to them, reach out to bloggers. It's a matter of just constant networking and trying to, you know, keep up with, you know, new people coming in. There's people that, you know, start Instagram accounts every day, start Twitter accounts, start Goodreads accounts. I mean, every day there's new members to all those sites. So it's a never-ending a thing. You know, it's never-ending work. Every single day I'm, you know, reaching out, and so does Stephen. We're like tentacles, you know. We're reaching out to all these different places to try to, you know, grab new people.
Yeah, and the thing is engage. I do work a lot of time on Facebook and Twitter especially, and then also I keep an eye on our YouTube channel, and David just left a very important note. Leaving comments on YouTube channels seems to be working. Yeah. And, yes, that is true. Engagement is the key, and I know Holly does, and I know I do on Twitter. I engage the people that send messages to tweet to us. I always try to make sure
on
I
Instagram,
catch
I do
those
that.
And engage
yeah,
those folks.
So. Mm-hmm.
They take the time to send them a tweet that's directed at us. You know, I want to respond. And the same thing with you know, the
we
YouTube
do it with
channel,
Facebook,
you know,
we
like,
do it with all of them.
Do it. Yeah. And we definitely engagement is the key. You can't just, you know, just sit there back and collect collect followers and do nothing. I mean, you definitely have to keep an eye on your channel and engage the folks that interact with you. That's very important.
Well, and don't just keep to yourself. You've got to engage their stuff too. Look at their stuff. Post on their stuff. They're good enough to post on your stuff, then you need to post on their stuff. You need to return the favor. That's only right.
And also, in the chat rooms and stuff like that that you can go into, engage in there too, because, you know, you might have one idea that, you know, may, you know, start off a whole different chain in the chat room, and if you keep doing it enough, you become the expert in that realm. You know, I go into different ones and everything and talk for, you know, to different people about whatever they're doing and how to redo it and stuff like that. And I'm trying to learn how to do that more in my writing and stuff too. But, you know, I've done it more in business than anything.
Right.
Because see, what Daniel does, he goes into a chat room and he will find a way to steer the conversation to catch it. And that's how he gets it. That's what he does.
I don't know what you're talking about, Stephen.
Oh, man.
He's literally playing catch-up.
His tactic. Oh, that's bad. Oh, Holly. I thought I was the punny one, but oh, my God, Holly just got a zinger right there. Oh, my God.
Ding, 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 ding.
But yes, Kenzie or Molly Daniels says
Molly.
It always amazes me when someone comments on one of my vids. Baha, but it's important. It's so important. The way that YouTube works really helps when you comment on a video and like it. The little like symbol underneath the video. If you like and comment, I mean that really helps a content creator. Just as a social media tip, definitely. If you know some folks that you want to show some support to, do that on their videos. And by God, go to Molly Daniels' videos and comment and like all of her videos. So, because it always amazes her, so we want to make sure we amaze her. And we can call her Kenzie, too.
She said you can call me Kenzie. I answer to both. She has a pen name, in case y'all didn't know that her pen name is obviously
Molly
Daniels.
So go to her page and like her videos and comment. Yeah, we want to make sure she is amazed.
Well, I told her it's exciting when you get a comment because at least you know one person is paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, sometimes I get blown away by the comments too. I mean, people are really real thoughtful. Like, a couple paragraphs worth of comment. It's a sizable comment. One from Sean Hastings. Yeah, that was the one that really got me when we were talking about mental health for creatives on the Creatives Cauldron. And I left a really, really thoughtful, long comment on that. And it really helped us see that, we had steered the show in the right direction. That really helped. We knew people had seen the show. People had said they liked it, but until we saw that really long comment, we weren't sure that, we really, hit our target right. But sometimes when you leave that big comment, it lets the creator know that they achieved what they were hoping to with the content direction. So it helps the creator too.
Yes, it does. Yeah. We always enjoy, getting some positive feedback. You got to take the good with the bad, but the positive's always better.
Yeah, then you get those fun people that leave posts like, you can see the entire Raiden Valkyrie TV pilot by going to this link. And I'm sitting there very amused because it has not been finished yet. So how do they have the entire thing if it has not been finished yet?
Yeah, and then we deleted that post, and I'll be darned if he didn't come back and do it again. I'm like, are you serious? That's news to us and our editor because it's not quite finished.
Yeah, there's always going to be trolls. Yes, David, the internet is troll-infested territory. And if you want a good movie on how to hunt trolls, watch the movie Troll Hunter, Norwegian film that's a true classic.
<It's great>. Well, Kenzie says that she was at Walmart the other night, and one of her fans come up to her, an assistant, she took a selfie with them. And they said, it's Molly. It's the Molly Daniels. And she was like, you guys
awesome.
Are too funny. That's always great when they, get excited when they see you. That's fun.
Yeah, David has coined a new nickname for Molly. She's now going to be called Awesome Molly. There we go. I'm watching the chat room right now. Oh,
yeah, that's
funny. Is great, Molly.
But Molly is definitely part of our group. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, she's definitely one of the family with everybody here. And, we definitely invite everybody that's listening tonight, please do step forward and let us know who you are and comment and get to know us. And we're an easy to get along with bunch. And And you can even like get to hang out with Daniel and learn the fineries of great catch-up and God, what is the exact term for your bike?
An ordinary bicycle.
An ordinary bike.
To him, it's ordinary.
Yes.
It's the penny bike. The penny bike.
What you're not understanding, Stephen, is that bicycle was the first one, so it was ordinary. The safety bike and the recumber came out afterwards, which
That's
is what
true.
Everybody That's thinks true. Are ordinary bicycles today.
Right.
So we're just newfangled fancy, and that's the actual bicycle.
Yeah.
That is true. That's what you see on bicycle playing cards, you know.
But
oh man,
yeah, you know, penny bothering is what a lot of people call it, or a velocipede.
Yeah, penny bothering. That's it.
Is a technical term for it, or high wheel bone shaker.
Right.
There's several nicknames for it. So, but penny bothering is the British slang term for it, for an ordinary bicycle.
I have to say, Holly and I both loved the one line in that new newspaper article from Tennessee about you. It was great. What was it? Well, if you see a guy in dark clothes and a top hat walking around town, chances are it's Daniel Dark.
Chances are you've seen Daniel
Dark.
That
was one of the best lines in that was
oh,
awesome.
My God. It
oh
made me
God.
So happy.
It was funny on Tuesday when I was out running around town. Most people never even speak to me. You know, they say that unless they want like a picture with me
well,
or something like that.
They're probably scared.
And they say, didn't I see you in the newspaper the other day?
Yep.
See,
well, hey,
it trickles down, Daniel. Eventually, you're not going to be able to go out without a bodyguard because, you know, they're going to be like the Pavarazzi.
I used to be a bodyguard, right. So I don't have to worry about that, so...
Well, there you go. You can handle it. Well, you are Jack the Ripper, so you are armed, you know.
Every day, everywhere.
Fantastic.
Approach with caution.
The pen is mightier than the sword, you know.
That's right.
Oh, man. Too good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So.
Molly says, or Kenzie, she's like, his bike, you was talking about the names for it. She says, not to be confused with the Velociraptor.
No, not to be confused with that. I haven't ridden one of those in days.
Oh, man.
That goes back a little further than the Victorian era.
Yeah, back during my first lifetime, probably.
There's a steampunk concept.
Cave days.
Combining Daniel Dark with Velociraptors, some kind of wild escapade. There you go.
Yeah. In this show, we go you know, down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah, we've just hit
the
bizarro fiction, I think. But
yeah, we went way down a rabbit hole. I would like to say we did do – we went to Jessamine County Library, me and Stephen did, this past Sunday, and they have a writer, a creator writer – I can't talk.
Creative writing
a creatives
group.
Writing group. The second Sunday of every month, if you guys wanted to check it out, it's called the Writers Forum. At 2 o'clock.
If you're in Kentucky.
But we went out
Central
there,
Kentucky.
And let me yes, Jessamine County. That library even has a 3D printer. This library is unbelievable.
Three 3D printers, like three
just,
or four. They have like
yeah,
a line of 3D
crazy.
Printers.
And
really
it's like a maze.
High-tech.
I mean, every time me and Stephen are there, we have to get a chaperone because we can't find our way around. I said one day we're just going to
have to
walk
get a
them
trail up. Guide.
Because
yeah.
literally – it's crazy. It's just so neat. But we went and met with the group and we talked and me and Stephen thought, oh, I don't, you know, we'll only be talking for an hour. No. We went over, we talked
nope.
like 2 hours and
we
15
blew
minutes.
Through 2 hours.
But we answered a lot of her questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we fit 15 minutes
but,
over
you know,
the time limit, and everybody was still wanted to chat and all, but it was really, really good. It was a really, really good one.
But like Daniel was saying, you know, how you learn stuff from, you know, groups and, you know, things like that, because they do have people come in and speak, and you can ask questions and different things, and you learn a lot. We talked to them about publishing. And they had a lot of questions because these are writers that there was a couple that did have a published book, but they were interested, you know, in small press publishing and like the big publishing companies and what they would need to do. Yeah. So, you know, we went over everything and they learned a lot, and they were very engaging. And I mean, it wasn't boring. They paid attention, and it was a
right.
great little day.
Well, the thing was, is that what, like Daniel was saying, you know, when you know, as far as like out of the box and not finding, you know, finding a broader think tank kind of group, this was a creative writing group where everybody was coming from a different sphere. I mean, we had a YA author, mm-hmm. we had a children's book author, we had a literary fiction author, we had one that was more of a thriller author. I mean, it was like every single
one
author
that was doing nonfiction.
Everyone is very, very different in what genre they wrote in. And so I think that would be a very interesting group to actually be a part of, because if they truly, you know, give, you know, real constructive criticism, you're getting it from all over, and people completely outside your genre from several different perspectives. And that's a neat thing, because if you can connect with here's the trick. If you can connect with them as a genre writer in a certain area, and all these different kinds of writers, then you might be onto something. And if you can grab people from that diverse of a range of backgrounds, the YA writer, the nonfiction writer, the, you know, all those, it's definitely something that to have use in your evaluation of creative writing groups when you become a part of one or looking to become a part of one. And it's finding that kind of mix, as opposed to, okay, I'm a fantasy writer and I'm just going to join a group that has 10 other fantasy writers. No, I think it's more helpful to have that kind of broad spread as far as for honing your craft. And same thing for a film,
yeah.
like a film club that watches works in progress or gives you like a test screening kind of capability. There's a neat group in Lexington, actually. I know Don Samantle talked about where you can actually go up on stage and have actors read your script to the audience. So you can actually get a feedback and a feel for how your script sounds as read by actors with an actual audience. I mean, what a cool group for a screenwriter. I mean, that is awesome. And things like that. I mean, that you becoming a part of a group that has a lot of diverse kind of perspectives within it, and that also is helping you hone your craft further. And that's another type of group that may not be your direct tribe, but may be part of the finding yourself at the table kind of concept. So I don't
and
know
I will
if,
say, you will find that a lot of these people that you meet in these groups and that you do actually become part of your tribe later on down the road.
Yeah, some do, yeah. And absolutely. But
what I was talking about earlier, Stephen, the group that actually, or the writer's group that actually, you know, told me that I needed to make mine dark, you know, my book darker because of the subject matter that I was working with. It wasn't a serial killer group. It wasn't a murder group. It wasn't anything like that. It was a YA group, that do YA and young teen books.
Oh, wow.
And
well, you
ones,
were definite,
going,
yeah.
And, you know, they allowed me to come in and everything, and I was a total, you know, different from anything else that they did, because they, you know, they wrote YA and young, you know, and older teen, young and older teen books. It's what they wrote.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, no, this, you know, you need to do this with your book. And all of them were, you know.
Right.
And another thing that I would suggest is get into a group if you can, that when it comes to writers groups and stuff, that have other published authors in it, whether they're self-published, indie published, you know, traditional mm-hmm. published, whatever, you know, whatever.
It helps, yeah.
Because they have already gone through what you're trying to go through.
Right.
And they understand.
Right. Yeah, they've found
well,
the pavement.
Well, and also encouragement. Because one thing I've noticed
yeah.
in every writing group that I've encountered, a lot of them, and I don't know if there is a person like this in the group we just met with, but a lot of writing groups I encountered, you always encounter that one or two people in the group that basically are in perpetual rewriting of their manuscripts, and they are very hesitant to actually take that step to get it published. And it's like there's a little bit of a barrier for them. And I think, you know, they're a little, you know, inhibited in some ways. But you always see that I don't know if your word is archetype, but that type of person within a writer's group. And I think that having a few people in a writer's group that have, like Daniel said, they're self-published or published, you know, no matter what level, I think that's an encouragement to help some of those people break through the wall and actually take the next step. Because I've seen some brilliant writers that are just too afraid to take that next step and actually put their work out there. And it's like they're caught in a perpetual rewriting cycle. And it just
and
really kills
me. And the thing that I've seen is writers that, you know, they won't even read it in front of the group because they don't want they're not confident enough of what they've written to get feedback on it even.
Right.
I've seen that in writers groups, you know, that people come every week to listen and give feedback to other people, but they won't read their stuff to get feedback on what they're doing or give it to anybody else in the group so that they get feedback.
And that's why you have to be careful when you join a writers group. You have to find one where you really sit in on it and kind of sit back and watch how the personalities are. Make sure that's a writing group that actually is engaged in constructive criticism, because there are types of individuals that will try to tear down another writer to kind of make themselves look like much better, or that they're experts or great writers because they can pick apart somebody. And it's an ego thing. And I've seen that type of person in some writers groups as well, that and they can cause a lot of harm. To a writer that's a little bit inhibited or introverted, or, you know, a little bit nervous. And so what you want to do is find a writer's group where, yes, they are going to tell you how they feel, but they're going to do it in a very proactive, constructive way that they really are trying to help you, you know, forward. And you can sense the two. You can get a definite feeling for the two types, and there's a distinct difference. And the other ones are a little more venomous in their style, a little colder, and you can pick it out. And the ones that are truly trying to help you, I mean, the vibe will come across. And you want to find a writer's group that's got those kind of people, the constructive criticism people, because the other ones can cause a lot of damage, and I have seen it. So, yeah, you gotta be careful. Gotta be careful. Yeah, I guess, hey, Holly, I think Molly is sharing some pretty cool writers group stories in
yeah,
there.
She's the only romance reader
in her group. Romance writer in her group.
Writer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said
there's somebody in her group that he's talked about his stories, told him the plot, changed the character, everything. He never writes anything down, no matter how many times you tell him, write it down.
It's one of those.
And then another one.
Kind of people.
He's on his final rewrite, she said, but he's been on that since he was like 9 years ago.
Yep.
He's been saying he's on that final rewrite.
That is exactly the kind of person I'm illustrating. There is always one or two of those kind of people in almost every writing group I've seen. And I just wish there's a way to really help them break through those walls. You know, just take the next step, but it's definitely a tough thing. Hopefully that fellow will definitely be able to get through. Yeah. Wow, 9 years.
Kenzie's looking for a ghostwriter. So if anybody wants to do some ghostwriting, get a hold of Molly Daniels.
Yeah. Well, if you need to find a ghost to write it, then you might have to talk to Jacob and
I can find
Floyd.
One. they look at them all, but they're always around me. I can find you one real quick. I got plenty.
Oh man, there's my bad humor coming through. Oh man, but we'll have to get him to
That's
call
funny.
In or Jenny to call in on one of our shows and talk.
Yeah, we need the frightening Floyds.
Yeah,
we need the frightening Floyds to call
Literally
in.
Literally ghost writers.
Yeah, they really are. It's what they write about.
Yeah, Robert.
What type of ghost writing is she needing?
Here. The lack of constructive criticism in a group stifles a lot of participation. Very true.
Robert Osborne. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, you got to have constructive criticism. Definitely.
Yeah, keyword being constructive. Yeah, as long as you're, you know, in that zone, that's the right way to take it.
As long as it's not a basher, somebody being aggressive.
Yeah, because they'll do it mm-hmm. just to intimidate somebody. And we've even seen it. No names, Holly, no names. But we've even seen it on the convention scene with people being, you know, very, you know, aggressive and not so friendly about somebody's writing in order to intimidate somebody.
Yeah, and Holly don't put up with that.
Yeah.
Steven knows it. I don't put up with
happen.
That.
It does happen.
And I will say something because I don't put up with those kind of people.
Well, I won't put up with that if it happens in front of me. I just found out about this later, but it does happen. And
yes, it does.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that. And take it with a grain
There's
of salt.
There's always bad eggs.
Yeah, people that try to just tear you down, and it's not constructive. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not constructive. They're not trying to help you. They're just trying to tear you down. Yeah, take that with a grain of salt. There's nothing to that. You know, I mean, they're just trying to cause you a little trouble and harm and discourage you. So, yeah, don't worry about that. And if you find a writer's group that's got a few of those type in, it's not the right one for you. Move on. Yeah, find
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but
uh-huh.
don't be too thin-skinned either.
No, not too thin-skinned. But
oh, no.
Yeah. There's a,
no.
Yeah.
You got to stand up for yourself, too, and be, you know, kind of be assertive. You got to – there's a difference between being aggressive and assertive, you know. You got to stand up for yourself and be assertive. But, yeah,
and
you got to be able to handle –
may not be everybody's liking.
That's true.
That's,
you can't please everybody, and what
oh,
your
God,
art
no.
is, it's not going to be pleasing to everybody because we all have different tastes, you know. Like romance readers are well, I don't know. They might enjoy Daniel's book because it's got some erotica in there. But you know what I mean. Children's book readers are not going to want to read, you know, horror or something like that. So yeah, I mean, there's, you know, different things for different folks.
Yeah, there's definitely it's an art of finding your audience, and that's the goal.
Mm.
It's not trying to satisfy every single reader that's out there. It's just trying to connect your voice with the audience that responds to your voice. And that's the challenge, trying to find that group out there. They're out there.
And I know we're talking mainly about writing and everything, but, you know, your voice may be, you know, in a painting or a sculpture or anything else that,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever your art form is, there's a voice inside that art that is you, and
mm-hmm.
you've got to stand up for what your voice is in that artwork, you know, in whatever style of artwork that you're doing. And, you know, like,
right.
I had to find my voice, you know, my dark voice when I was doing Knife's Tale, and, you know, I knew it was there and everything, but I was stifling it myself. And,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you just got to let it go and quit stifling yourself and get, you know, get it out there to where you can actually be the person that you can be.
Well,
and
that's you're going to connect
that,
with
that the
people.
World is looking for.
Exactly.
You
be you, because I said, you've got to be you, be yourself right from the heart. And because you've got crazy people like me who loves your writing. You know, I'm not the only one. There's many of us crazy people, you know, but there's somebody for everybody, you know, and people got to realize that you write from your heart. Don't be worried about if this person's going to like it or if that person's going to like it, because then you're never going to be able to actually write, you know, what's really going on in your head. You're not going to be you, and you're never going to be happy. You're never going to feel fulfilled, you know, and be proud of what you're putting out there. You need to be yourself, and don't be afraid of it. Put it out there, you know. Somebody's going to love it. Somebody's going to get something of it.
I'm going to riff right off of Holly and go to the chat room because Molly has some great stuff in here. She says when she first joined her group and had her first book, somebody dissed it as, quote, college crap. And a few months later, they did a writing prompt, and what she wrote caused him to say, oh, you're not just a romance writer. And then she was like, well, I kind of showed him. That was 9 years ago, and I had 2 books out. Now I'm working on number 22, 23, and 24.
All right. Go, Kenzie. Go, Molly Daniels. Woo!
We need her in all the writing groups because she actually, I guess, booted out one of the wolves that I was talking about earlier, one of the bad folks, you know, as far as criticism goes. They said, yeah, we had to kindly boot someone out of our group, too. So if you want to have a great creative writing group, you need to get Molly Daniels in your group, evidently. She's battle-hardened.
And if you got somebody, you got somebody really aggressive, and that's really, just call me. I'll go and take care of it. That's fine.
Or Holly. Holly.
As Steven says, I'm not
Holly
a diplomatic. Holly and Molly. That's right. Woo! Here we go.
Holly and Molly.
We're gonna straighten
up
these
groups. Jolly.
That's
Holly and Molly will keep your group jolly and free from folly. You love that, Daniel.
Oh, that's
I know
awesome.
You do. Mm. Oh man, that's good. Classic.
Oh, Daniel puts up with me all the time, so I don't know. Poor guy.
Yep. Gotta love you, buddy.
Daniel, I did try. Huh?
Gotta love you.
That's right. I love you, too. Hey, I tried one of your recipes the other night, too.
Have
it was
a holly
good.
Jolly Molly Christmas. There we go.
That's what Molly
That's Molly.
We have a book Stephen found last year, and I laid it out. Did you see it, Stephen? It says, Miss Holly Had a Jolly Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That we had to buy that the second we saw that book. That was fantastic.
Yeah, we found it at a secondhand store, and Stephen's like, oh, we got to have that.
Yeah, a little off topic, but oh, my God, this when we turn on the TV, Christmas at the Holly Lodge is one of the films we saw. And then what the other night we had something, what was it, the Holly Inn?
The Holly Inn.
Yeah, Holly Grove Inn. That was it. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every time I turn on a Christmas movie, it has a distinct Holly reference. It's scary. It's almost, yeah, it's scary.
Does Dan know that you've had a Holly Christmas?
Dan Jolly?
Yeah.
Well, we have
an author in the press. His last name is Jolly. It's J-O-L-L-E-Y, Dan Jolly. And so Stephen made a thing while back because he said we literally can have a Holly Jolly Christmas.
Yep, literally. It's fantastic. Yeah, we need to do a graphic or something on that, put out a meme on the internet. Oh, God, that would be too funny. Photoshop time.
Oh, dear.
Well, hey, it's holiday season. Christmas is 12 days away. We're into the second day of Hanukkah. So, yeah, we are in the thick of the holiday season. So why not? Oh, man.
That's true.
Yes. But
next week will be our Christmas show, right? Yeah, it will.
Yeah, next week will actually, yeah, it will be our Christmas special. Yeah, we're known to be quite off the charts on our Christmas shows. Those are always fun ones to watch. So, yeah, we won't necessarily be like covering or trying to cover. I know every week we have a little fun while we're chatting, but But we will probably probably have all fun next week and get some crazy call-ins. We'll have to get Tommy B. Smith to call in next week for sure.
It's Kenzie's birthday next week.
Next Wednesday?
Next week, she said. I don't know what day next week.
Fantastic.
I'm wishing her happy early birthday.
We will have to celebrate her birthday here at the Star Chamber Show. Because next week is an open line, fun type of show. We have no holds barred and nothing. Well, I guess there's probably a couple of things off limits, but most of it's off limits. not off limits, yeah.
Oh, Tuesday's her birthday. Tuesday is Susie Michaels, Molly Daniels. Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. But we will still continue the celebration Wednesday so that she can now say she's going to have at least a 2-day birthday celebration. That's going to be our goal.
There you go.
We will round out her 2-day celebration on the Star Chamber Show.
I start mine on Friday with a upper EKG or upper GI. So.
Oh, dear God. Are you going to be okay? Will you be recovered by next Wednesday so you can at least say hi on our holiday fiesta?
I ought to be able to. I normally don't have any trouble with them. Unless something weird happens.
Make sure. Yeah, see, Eric Jude usually shines on our holiday shows when we do holiday specials. So he had a major issue with his telephone last week. So, fortunately, Will Hutcherson was able to jump in and kind of fill that slot co-host wise, but at the last second, literally. But hopefully, Eric will be available, so we can harass him a little bit too. And Tommy B. Smith, I don't know where he is tonight, but we definitely got to get him on board next week.
Well, we got to try to get. Tony Ackery back too. We gotta get Tony.
Yeah, where is Rupert? Yeah,
he's kind of vanished
the last few weeks. Yeah, we need to get.
I know he says he's been really
here.
Busy, but yeah, we need to see old Rupert.
Oh, he probably has. Yeah, Michael West is having fun at an Indiana Pacers game as we speak. Yeah, Holly actually had to substitute for him tonight because he's off enjoying a big NBA extravaganza over in Indianapolis. So I told him, I said, punch an NBA player and get us some big press. So we'll see what happens because I told him that'd be great. Like seven-star press author Michael West gets into altercation with NBA star. Gold. His book sales will go through the roof now.
Yeah. 7-star press author Michael West gets in an altercation with NBA star.
Yeah. So we're waiting and hoping.
We're hoping he gets in a fight somewhere. We're hoping.
Good fight with one of the NBA players. And then tomorrow, you'll get his sales reports in. They'll be like off the charts. We might have to bail them out
hey,
some of it.
There's no press bad press is still press. We'll take it.
Yeah, well, he said he'd see what he could do. So we're hopeful. Well, he hasn't called us to bail him out of jail just yet, so I don't know what
Not yet.
He might get out of it though. Yeah, he might provoke them and then it's self defense and then we get the press and he doesn't get arrested. So it's a win-win. Yeah, because God, just an NFL player just recently launched himself into the stands after somebody. So it does happen.
That's
oh,
true.
Man.
That's
no,
true.
Okay,
you better get back on topic and wrap this up. 3 minutes.
Wait, that is not a promotional style that I am seriously advocating just for those listeners that are out there.
No, authors, do not go out there and get fights. Please.
Don't go out getting fights with sports stars.
Go help out a soup kitchen or something like that. Don't go getting fights. Or you dress up like Daniel Dark and walk around town or something like that.
Oh, man. That line. I will never forget that from his article. Oh, man. But we got about how long do we have? I see about a minute 20.
Minute and a half.
We got left. So, yeah. So do you have any closing remarks, Daniel?
Anybody that's in the Nashville area on January 20th, come see me at Barnes & Noble Vanderbilt for book signing, reading, Q&A that I'll be doing there. Just keep up with the Star Chamber and keep listening to us.
Yep.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to hear.
Yep, you never know what you're going to hear. We will cover the topic, but you'll always get some bonus coverage of who knows what. Well, that's what makes
that's
it fun.
True.
We're not predictable.
And you all can find Daniel Dark and Steven Zimmer's books at 7starpress.com.
Yep, yep. And definitely look up Molly Daniels and Kenzie Michaels and
yep.
Robert Osborne, all authors here in the chat room. And hopefully in the near future, we'll be adding David Sheridan to that list. But yeah, both Robert and Kenzie Michaels, Molly Daniels are our authors, and check them out too. And follow us on.
And please leave comments.
On Twitter and Facebook at Star Chamber Show. We do have social media channels for you to follow for the show. So please follow those and spread those around. And we will have a show next week at 9 p.m. Eastern for the Christmas show. So take care, everybody, and
Yay.
Have a great night. Night,
Good
everybody.
Night.
Good night, everybody.